home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. At some point, I think I'm going to create a new screen grab behind me on the YouTube channel with the Key Bridge, but I think it'd make me cry today, so I'm trying to like let it low. We've talked about a lot of stuff here since I've been back. I was in Florida for 6 days, 3 days of spring training, almost four, 2 days of having the owner of the Ravens and the general manager of the Ravens run from me in the middle of the night. And John Harbaugh's press conference, the death of Peter Angelos, Jackson Holliday's not on the opening day. I mean, all of this stuff that's happening. And I woke up at 5:50 in the morning on Tuesday in a very loud hotel room in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. There were a lot of kids there. And I wasn't even going to Epcot. Got the text that the Key Bridge has been destroyed with links to European websites that were telling me that this was a headline, trusted European websites. And I put the television on, and the first thing I saw in my hotel room at 5:51 in the morning was Johnny O in my hotel room in Florida at this press conference. And I'm reaching to everyone I know in my space. Wendy Bronfine, not just our friend, but also chief cannabis officer here at WNST, to educate us on all things medicine and otherwise. But really a Baltimorean. She's wearing her Orioles gear. We're slated for maybe a beverage at the Nest or at Fadley's prior to a game. And we're putting the Crab Cake Tour down to Fadley's in 2 weeks. I'm wearing my Costa shirt because business is going to be affected by this everywhere around. And Wendy, first off, welcome in. It's just a somber tone for everyone, you know. And if I tell the story about how my Uncle Norman drove me over the bridge in 1977, it gets dusty in here. And I think for everybody in Baltimore, I've been reached to by people all over the world asking how we're doing.
Yeah, I've fielded a lot of those calls and texts as well yesterday. I know I'm looking at this shirt now that I'm wearing, and I put it on because I was thinking about opening day being tomorrow, but I forgot how blatantly it says Baltimore across it. And I feel like it's pretty meaningful after yesterday. It's just totally surreal and unbelievable.
You're from the northwest side of town, which makes you unique to the bridges and the tunnels. I had a girlfriend who grew up in Randallstown, Pikesville, Owings Mills area, and she had really never been through the McHenry Tunnel or the Harbor Tunnel, because there's no reason to. If you live between, let's say, Towson and Woodlawn, there's sort of, yeah, the water's over there. Maybe I go over to Costas, take the Beltway, get some crabs or something like that. But for people on my side of town, I mean, it was visible from my bedroom window in when I lived on Kane Street in my teens. It was visible all of my childhood. It's the first thing you'd see moving anywhere high, anywhere in my territory in Dundalk, up on Fade Avenue or anywhere high. The first thing you see is the arch of the bridge. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing lets you know you're home. You know, I've equated it to 9/11, and people put, like, you know, I understand the level of the tragedy, but I think there's something of seeing this visual
thing.
Yes, the way
it crumbled. Yeah.
And I flew into the airport on Tuesday evening, and I was purposely peeking out the right side. I mean, I've flown into the airport 1,000 times. I know exactly where I am. I have a Garmin, I have a GPS, and we entered from the west, so I didn't see it. I've only seen it 1,000 times on my timeline. But when I go somewhere, if I go to Costas tonight, and I very well may, and I look out there and it's gone, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. I had a friend who happened to be at Fort McHenry on Sunday and took a picture of the bridge, which also at that moment happened to have a large, like, tanker container ship passing basically right through the center of it. So and then took a pic. Then her husband took a picture yesterday at 7 a.m. And it was like, you know, this sort of, you know, 15 hour difference, if you will, from one day to the next. It was so eerie.
Yeah, the whole thing's been surreal for everyone. Did you use the bridge much? Because I think there's a lot of people in the northwest side of town that's just. Bill Cole came on. He was my first guest, you know, after the tragedy early in the morning on Wednesday. And, you know, he said it was always sort of like an escape route, you know, for anybody that has a business or was going to the airport, or it was the way as a kid I used the bridge whenever we went to Ocean City. So if you were going across the bridge, we're going to the beach. I mean, it was like party time. Let's go. We didn't. And the tunnels were more for the airport and certainly being where I lived, Kane Street, Eastern for a long time, and even in the White Marsh, just use the McHenry Tunnel because it was wider, better, faster. But I'm a little older than you even, and but I remember when there was only one tunnel, and Baltimore was a nightmare for everybody. Anybody was going New York to Florida, anywhere in the corridor, one road, two lanes, drive the Harbor Tunnel. Some of us will, you know, now have to now over the next 5 years, 10 years, however long it takes. And Baltimore was a traffic nightmare, and the Key Bridge was always like peaceful. There weren't a whole lot of cars on it, or and for me, I'm wearing my Costa shirt, even though this is a Curio Wellness segment. Wendy Braun finds our guest. I met my executive producer Ray Bachman over at Costa's 2 weeks ago, and he lives in Pasadena. And he said, "Yeah, man, all these years, I can't believe I haven't been over to Costa's more often. I love it over. I'll come over here. 10 minute drive. It's quick. It's quick. It's quick."
Oh my God.
I mean, it's spooky now, right? And because you and I'm just hoping the businesses on the peninsula that we all stick together and understand, like one road in, one road out in Dundalk now, and that's there's almost a feeling about that that's a little weird, you know, even for a guy that literally the neighborhood I grew up in, Wendy, like right at East Point Mall, we were equidistant from all three passageways. You know, getting to the harbor, the Fort McHenry, or the Key Bridge were all 3 miles, literally, one way or another. It just depended on whether you wanted to get spit out on Fort Smallwood Road, or whether you want to get spit out in Brooklyn, or whether you want to get spit out at the foot of the city because you're going downtown to Camden Yards, let's say, right? So I'm old enough to experience all three ways and all the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Key Bridge was peaceful. It was the only easy way to get anywhere, you know?
Well, I hadn't considered until like when they were discussing it, sort of the from the shipping perspective, the hazmat issue with the tunnels that the bridge provided, and that the without that, there's like a 30-mile detour. And I was thinking about it yesterday, and I thought, well, we're all over the news today, and we're usually talked about for other things. And I thought maybe as awful as this tragedy is, there's so much conversation around the commerce that we provide that maybe this can help shift our narrative. And people think of us in a different way because how crucial our port is, the systems that come off of it, the businesses that support that, and that it sort of starts to change kind of what people reflexively think about us when we're talked about.
And you know, Bill
That's my
being
hope.
yeah, well, Bill Cole being the smartest guy in the room around here from Cole Roofing, you know, we were talking about like how it gets rebuilt. I mean, obviously the dredging part and getting the port open and the loss of like all of these things that are short-term issues and Joe Biden saying, hey, we're gonna pay for it. We don't know what it is. And we thought, well, could they build a tunnel? Well, then there'd be the hazmat issues. It has to be a bridge. So you eliminate that. Well, what about the maglev? We're trying to build that on the East Coast and do other transportation. So why don't we build a super bridge? And blah, blah, blah. And maybe that really means that Dundalk will be the new West Palm Beach, you know, one day, 20 years from now. You know what I mean? Like, so there's so much. I always use this. I've gotten very spiritual lately with this one. Deepak Chopra, one of my spiritual gurus, who I bumped into on the street in New York one day. It was weird. He mentions pure potentiality, pure potentiality, right? So the potential for this as an unbelievable, unmitigated tragedy, disaster, awful, right? That we build something that's not only beautiful and pretty and Francis Scott Key would be proud of and something I'm going to want to drive over and take a picture, but something that's effective for the next 50 years, not something that was built,
Agreed.
quite frankly, it was built to really help Sparrow's Point, and Sparrow's Point fell apart anyway, because that's why the road's empty all the time. The road's empty because it was wide. It was built to like
Right.
have as many cars as Arbutus does. But it never has because nothing ever came. And then they polluted the water, you know, like all of that. And we have all of these really important environmental issues. You know, we put so much. I'll get Martin O'Malley on here soon after all he tried to do with the bay. That's his pride. And like making sure that we do this in a clean way for the bay. But I have no doubt that we have the ability to do this better, to make it better this time around and build it for our kids' kids and say, what's the potentiality of how awesome it can be if it's rebuilt that would really serve the community and the port and bigger boats and like all of the and cruise ships and like all of that. That's why I said West Palm, you know, because you and I, we got to go on a cruise to Bahamas someday, you know.
I mean, you mentioned Sparrow's Point. That was one of the things I thought of yesterday, was like that whole rebirth and the Trade Point Atlantic, and then the impact over there. But I totally agree with you. It's like, you know, this, you hopefully there is sort of something we can make out of it that's so much better than the tragedy that we're in right now. You know, I ended up in like a little bit of like a rabbit hole yesterday, like reading about it. Like, it cost $60 million to build, and it happened between these years. And then I went to the place of like, oh my God, if it took 4 years or 5 years in the 70s, how long will it take today? Because, you know, doesn't seem like we ever get anything done quickly. And so that's like one of my hopes, is like there's a great plan, and that bridge is back as soon as we can make it happen, and we don't lose like a generation over it.
You know, it's amazing. We can talk about the baseball ownership, and Peter died this week. And I'm not even talk about it. You know, like Peter died, and this thing has so made that back page. And I mean, it's really made the Orioles back page, even though you're wearing them and we're going to get together. But the Orioles aren't going to be back page when the national anthem gets played. And we're all down there and we're feeling the feels, right? Not just the baseball, but you know, I do
No,
want
it's definitely a
positive,
moment
Wendy. You're
to
my
come
sponsor. You're my
together.
friend. Like, there's no one more bullish on the potentiality of this city than I, and standing in front of that. And we are now faced with worldwide attention. The president is giving us money and we're doing this and that. This is Wes Moore's chance to shine and maybe become president one day if he does a good, like, this is a real opportunity for our community in a way, in a gut punch way, to stick together and come together in a meaningful way.
I would agree.
Wendy Bronfman is here. She's Curio Wellness. She's the chief brand officer there. Let's talk some cannabis. That's what we do around here. We did some Appy Eddie last week. I got to get Eddie on the show. I know you're going to opening day. Maybe Eddie's going to opening day because he's Pikesville guy, Baltimore guy, Oriole fan, all that stuff. I'm a little confused as a customer. So let's just say this. I try to do the research, as Cat Williams once said, and I try to talk to you and educate myself. But when someone comes in, adult use. You know, maybe they were at a concert one time and smoked a joint back in the day, and they don't know the difference between indica, sativa, hybrid, this, that. I mean, it's a science, right? And it's not an inexpensive product, as we talked about, that you want to know what you're doing and what you're where you are. But part of reading the back of a tin can and even taking the little camera and shooting the QR codes that they said we'd never use, and now we use them all day. I can't order food in Florida without a QR code. So we don't have a menu. Boom. You know, I would say when I see 27%, 32%, 22%, 19%, you know, like indica sativa, there's such an educational process for everything you do. It's one of the reasons you come on here and I try to learn about this stuff. But then there's the price point of, well, if I want 32 or 34, that really good stuff the Curio has, because that's really the business you're in, is trying to get the best stuff that it's maybe easier, or I don't know, the economics of growing 19 or 22%, but I understand how it's priced. And I want to give you some oxygen today to like talk about that, because I really don't know how and why something's 60 and something's 40 and something's on sale and like all the pricing. I think everybody understands a sale though, and I'm sure people take advantage of it. Guilty.
Well, so I think you know, what drives the price to a certain extent in this market, beyond kind of what would be your standard I topics, right? You've got your costs of goods in terms of creating the product and selling it, but this market has really been driven by not only the overall quality of it, but particularly the potency, so that level of THC. And that can command higher prices here because people have shown that they value that. Most people, I think, when they enter the marketplace, you know, you don't have a reference point. If you had consumed cannabis prior to a legal market through other means, you didn't have any lab results to know what was the potency, what were the terpenes present, right? This is part of that nuance where you have much more clarity to what you're using.
And that
In
came with
terms of the strain,
legality, correct? I mean, it was
yeah,
only
yes.
universities and like federal studies and black holes in places we didn't know about that ever after Nixon that this could ever be studied or used for medicine, right? I mean, that's sort of the reason I'm doing it as a defiant thing, is to say you're helping people. For 50 years, the government wouldn't even allow you to measure any part of this to understand its potency, effectiveness, efficacy, any of these things. That's truly, and I've been in your studio, truly science.
Yeah, well, so that's like the federal state conflict because it remains Schedule One. You can't formally re research it. There's one institution in the United States that's allowed to have cannabis at the University of Mississippi. They are, work in concert relative to the DEA and have that ability to do so. But what's
See, you
discussed
just
is that.
educated me. I didn't know that. Only one place in Mississippi. Okay. Now I know where all my kids, friends' kids are going to Mississippi. Now I see them down there. I thought it was just for the Grove and Hotty Toddy and they love the Rebels, but no, okay, I understand. Okay.
But the sort of, for lack of a term, the joke of it all is that what they have there is not really representative of anything that you would see in a legal market in terms of the quality, the potency, the sort of healthy quality cure of the products. So whatever, and I think a lot of that research isn't really through the lens of, well, we want to identify why this is useful. It's more like, connected to why it is illegal. In terms of what we do, we have a very large cultivation facility. It's about 160,000 square feet. We have multiple flowering rooms. That's the final stage of growth. Everything is in its own climate-controlled zone. And the plants move through our hygienic space throughout their growing cycle. And then once the plant has fully matured, you harvest it, you dry it, you cure it. An outside lab that's licensed by the state comes in, takes samples, it's tested, it passed its testing relative to the overall safety of the product, as well as gets the lab results that tells you that potency of cannabinoids and terpenes. And then you find that information on your label when you purchase it, which is why if you walk into a dispensary and you express to the person working there what you're looking for in terms of how that is going to smell, taste, feel, what effects you'll get, they're using that information to match your request with what the strain is. So we have our flower comes under a line called exclusive. That's our premium products. It's about $50 an eighth. To your point, dispensaries are always having promotions. So, a lot of people know what the retail price is, but shop relative to the deals that are going on at their preferred dispensary. But this is a product that is grown in this controlled environment that we maintain that has a strong focus on its dry, its cure. There's a manicuring to the bud before it's packaged. And so these are, and I think you mentioned, like, why is it this potency versus that potency? In the, what's it been now? In the 7 years that we've been growing, the better the building, we'll call it, is tuned to the growing process, and the more we sort of attenuate our style, the better we can deliver from the plant, right? We let it express itself at its best way. So there are strains we've had over the years that started at a lower potency, but based on our environment and how we take care of it and kind of keep it in a healthy, natural growing environment, it starts to express itself in a better way, and we end up with stronger test results or more biomass from it in the future. And the only other thing I would say is we have a plant sciences team that's part of our cultivation. There's two PhD scientists on there and a team of people who really look at the overall health of our cultivars, or you might call them strains, and the approaches we take to really optimize how this garden grows.
Well, if this were a Grand Funk Railroad song, like some kind of wonderful, you say, "Can I get a witness?" Yeah, I'm a witness. I went over and I put the suits on and put the little Willy Wonka white thing on my hair and like went in. And I still have questions. I mean, just the wonderment of all of it and the science of all of it. And I've toured beer plants. I've toured all sorts of manufacturing facilities and shipping facilities and liquor distributorships and all of that. They don't smell quite the way yours does. I mean, some of them smell a little different, but your place and the science that's involved there, and when someone comes into Curio Wellness or another dispensary to buy your products, or at Farm Daughter, which is your home facility just south of Timonium Road on York Road, the place I go, the place people pass, across from the Nautilus Diner, it's there. So you go in and you say, "All right, This is 25%, and it's 40, whatever the price point is, whatever.
Yeah.
And this is 32%. It's the same strain. And this is 19%, and they're selling it in, or 21%, and they're selling it in five packs of joints, right? Like whatever it is, right? Pre-rolls. So the difference in the price, you know, it is what it is. The difference in the strain is it's Blissful Wizard. It's whatever the Alien OG, whatever the thing is, that to say, oh, wow, I'll just do the 27%, a little less, or the 32. Like, what's that for a user to say, well, that's only 19 or 20, but I don't really want that, and it's cheaper. I want to have the silver oak wine or whatever. And I think we think that, like, we compare it to crabs a lot. Like, I can go to Costas, and you should. And it doesn't mean you have to get the big ones. You know what I mean? Hey, you can get the
but they're
the
good.
Smaller, but they're still good. Right? They're good. Right. So I guess that was my point, is when it, we all get a little like 22, 25, 28. How much? Well, how much? But, you know, like, what would your advice be to folks about that number? Because it's the biggest number on the can, the percentage that, you know, literally. And you sort of look at it and say, oh, well, that's small, medium, large, or that's low shelf, middle shelf, top shelf. You know, we all have a delineation, or that's sirloin versus, you know, filet mignon. I guess we could compare it in any way. But all that being said, this does have an effect. It's not the difference between I like my meat a little more lean or whatever. This is, there is a difference between 22 and 32%, say.
Yeah. And look, I think that you could have flour that's 22% and flour that's 32%. And it both could be dried, cured in a wonderful way, great aroma, visually appealing, easy on the palate and the throat. Like the effects, the difference is, it's one is stronger than the other. And typically, if the potency of the THC is higher, you're likely going to see the other minor cannabinoids and terpenes are lifted as well, right? Because the plant is really expressing itself to a higher level. If you're coming in new, you know, the adage start low, go slow applies. But I would say you don't have to choose 22%. If you choose 32, like, take a hit and like wait a little bit and see what it does. You know, I think for us, we've had some strains that have tested extremely high, like 36, 37% before.
How high could it possibly
ways,
go? That's another question I have.
I don't know the answer to that, but I mean, I would agree at some point it's probably unnecessary. But I also, like, you know, I don't totally understand all the THC chasing, because as somebody who does enjoy smoking cannabis, I like that a lower gives you kind of more longevity as a activity, like kind of a social activity, versus like coming in hot, you know, and getting, feeling it, and then being like, all right,
yeah,
well, there
nobody
you go,
wants
done.
To stand in a bar or concert, be on the moon. Well, maybe at a Pink Floyd concert, but like
right.
In a general sense, look, I like to drink. I've drank too much. I think most people that have drank too much at some point. Hopefully you didn't drive or operate machinery or do anything irresponsible, or say, call your ex-girlfriend, whatever stupid stuff you could do. I'm from Dundalk. I'm wearing a Costas shirt. I've done it all foolishly. I'm older than that now. And I guess that's part of the cannabis thing for me to be involved in this conversation, is to say, and I said this to you sort of flippantly 2 weeks ago, I had Miller and Coors and Bud. I never had any conversations about what it would do to you, or don't drink too much of it. If you have the sixth one, you're going to be driving a porcelain bus, and you're going to feel like awful the next day. And you're like, I know the feeling of all of the hangover. And that's probably why at some point in the last decade, when my wife had cancer and Sanjay Gupta came along, that I discovered just a better way to lighten the load, lessen, you know, take the edge off, whatever those hippie terms might be. And we got 420 coming up in a couple of weeks, so we'll get all about that on our next segment, I'm sure. But I think there's something about, what's it going to do to me, and how does it make me feel? And certainly the medicinal side of sleeping better, all of the other products that you're deriving from this above and beyond, I just want to be a little stoned. Like, let's start with that and then move to, I want to X better or Y better or Z better. That's really where it comes in, and the educational part of this. But I do think the percentages can be a little confusing, a little price centric, a little bougie in some way, to say, well, this will do the same as that, or that'll, you know, how do you want to do it? That there is a medicine and a science behind this, that because I always wondered, like, they're going to do 42%. I don't know what the point of that is, but I also don't know what the point of when I shop to say this has cannabinoids that help me and assist me. How does the price point, how do I choose better? That's all.
I mean, I think when you make analogies to like to wine and things like that, it does sort of work, right? Because part of the stuff with the flower is how much of a connoisseur or just somebody who is interested in sort of that visual quality and that appeal of that flower. That's really also part of what's driving it. Is it a strain that is beloved and rare, right? And that gives it kind of another tier up. So, the exclusives that we do kind of meet a many a factor, right? They do tend to have higher potency. They are smaller batches. They're more exotic strains. They're going to be available in limited locations.
Well, the other part of this, though, Wendy,
They come and they go.
you could not
So
grow a
that's part of what's
33% plant at
happening
home,
there.
right? I mean, it would be impossible to grow a 33% plant at home. Like, the only way, the amount of science and the amount of care that goes into making a better batch of wine, a better grape, a better vintage, that is really, really hard to do for all of you who are trying to do it, right?
I can't speak to that because have zero perspective on doing it like at home. I
No, I'm
don't
not
think that
saying that. I'm
anyone,
just saying that
no,
the
but I'm saying
conditions, right?
yes, I think, we have, so the individuals who have come in over the years to work and run our cultivation, they sort of tease, like what they love is they get to play Mother Nature, right? So if plants need light, temperature, humidity, CO2, if you're outside or wherever you are, it is what it is. But in these rooms, we can condition it to optimize like the light. It's the ideal light, the right amount of CO2, the perfect feed, watered at the exact cadence they want. So, we can play Mother Nature and really express the plant to the best of its ability. And really, kind of deliver these quality and repeatable products. I think that's part of the biggest piece here is that if you walk in our garden, you would see that the tables of plants are completely uniform by strain. There aren't irregularities in what's tall and who's short and who's wide. And they might change by cultivar, but a single strain, they all look identical. They're all growing in a similar look. They're pointing right to that light up there, which is their sun. And they're just very beautiful and healthy. And that environment allows us to really deliver a quality product. And more than anything, that product is then tested before you buy it. And you know it's safe and that no pesticides, metals, molds, microbes, anything remains in there if it
Drinking
ever
coffee,
was,
learning
if it
about
wasn't in ours.
cannabis with Wendy Bronfine here, and making it all happen. She is the chief brand officer at Curio Wellness. So you can find them over at Far & Daughter. You can go to farandaughter.com. You go to curiowellness.com. You can find us in front of Baltimore Positive, all of those good things. And we began this thing with certainly key bridge thoughts. And I want to end it with some Orioles baseball because you're wearing your orange shirt. I got my purple shirt with Happy Yeti 2 weeks ago, so I'll be wearing that for draft week. You also have 420 coming up, which is a big holiday. So we'll have a little bit of fun with that next couple of weeks. Orioles and ownership and all of this stuff. This is there's going to be a lot of emotions when the national anthem's played here in Baltimore this week and for a long time.
That
And for
O
any,
is going to get, yeah, that
it's,
O is going to get yelled extremely loud tomorrow. It's
but
going to be intense.
this is exciting. So I want you to have a home run strain for us sometime soon, or a pennant race something. I'll come. I'm always trying to name your plants. So just go. You came up with a Happy Eddie. You've inspired me that there could be a Nasty Nester or a home
Yeah.
run something something. So I hope to see you at the ballpark. Thanks for all the education, and certainly the story you had about your friends with the pictures. Make sure you copy me in on that because I'd like to share that from Fort McHenry.
You got it.
I've been looking for pictures of the key, but I've seen so many because they're all images of my hometown. They're all images of the icon that I'll never see again, which is really, really weird. So we're in a weird spot here with the Orioles. I just got back from the NFL owners meetings. Luke's going to be joining us here to talk some Oriole baseball as we get into the weekend. No April fooling here at all. We're full steam ahead. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.